This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. 7.8%, 114,000. Those are the numbers of the day today. The unemployment rate last month, of course, and how many jobs were added to the economy in September. The unemployment report is, as you know, always an A-list indicator, made all the more so in the midst of an election. And so it is where we are going to begin today with our weekly wrap of Wall Street and beyond. Catherine Rampell covers economics for the New York Times. She is at the Times building today. Cardiff Garcia from the blog FT Alphaville is in our New York studios. Hey, guys.
Hey, Kai.
Hey, Kai.
All right. So let's see. Jobs. Catherine, you get to go first. And the question is what? Okay. Biggest surprise for you today?
Well, the biggest surprise is probably on the household survey side, which showed that the number of people who had jobs went up by almost 900,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gigantic number, a gigantic, gigantic number. That is basically what pushed down the unemployment rate to 7.8%, which has caused lots of conspiracy theorists to rear their ugly heads.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're getting there later in the broadcast.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So that was definitely a surprise.
Okay. Cardiff, you?
I mean, the related fall in the unemployment rate itself, 0.3%, I think you have to remember that this is one of the few times where we get a statistically significant drop, which means it may not have been that big, but it was definitely a fall. You can say that. So this is one report that I don't think you can dismiss out of hand.
Interesting that neither of you mentioned the revisions from prior months. I mean, July and August were bumped up not a small amount, Catherine, right?
Yeah, they were raised upward, but, you know, there are always revisions.
That's funny. You're blowing me off. You're blowing me off with the tone of your voice. You're like, no,
sorry.
That's not important.
There are always revisions. You know, earlier this year, we had a long string of months where they were all revised upward, and then all of these economists started raising their forecasts for the future, saying, aha, clearly this is a pattern that the Labor Department is not catching job growth all
mm-hmm.
the way,
mm-hmm.
and this will continue. And then the next month, numbers were revised downward, and
well,
you know, it's very volatile. The thing with this report is we always make a big deal out of it whenever it comes out,
mm-hmm.
but there's so much noise in the report. I mean, especially from month to month,
mm-hmm.
and there are always big revisions because, you know, there's a big margin of error, and not everybody in the country can get surveyed.
Yeah, no, I get that. But Cardiff, so the reason I asked was doesn't, you know, don't the upward revisions from July and August sort of make you believe that all the doom and gloom that we were thinking about in the middle of the summer, that there was a sag again, was maybe wrong?
It does. And it's not that Catherine's wrong. I think she's absolutely right about everything she says. But I also think that this was a very comforting report. So a good, not a great report. So it's one more data point that shows that the recovery itself has been more resilient than we thought in the worst moments. And basically, I think, confirms something that I sort of vaguely remember you saying almost a year ago, Kai, which is that the economy that we had then was more or less the economy that we'd have going into the election. I think that's absolutely the case. Doesn't mean we can get complacent, but it does mean that the recovery itself is on a pretty sound footing.
All right, good. So let me change gears for a second. Catherine, we had the debate this past Wednesday. It was economics and domestic affairs. First of all, did we get, do you think, an informative and enlightening discussion of the economic state of this country?
Not particularly. I mean, there was a lot of rhetorical talk about jobs and the need to create more jobs. But I actually went through the transcript again yesterday because I was trying to remember
again?
What
wow,
the candidates—
Again? Wow, you did it. You did it more than once? Okay.
No, sorry. I meant after I had
right,
watched
okay,
the debate
right.
and I, you know, helped out with the Times' fact-checking and
all
that fun stuff.
Yep.
And then somebody asked me yesterday, so what did can you summarize what the two candidates said about jobs? And I was trying to remember what they actually said. And I went through the transcript and it looked like they didn't actually say a whole lot. I mean, except to the extent that you can extrapolate from tax policy, you know, that Mitt Romney says that if he lowers tax rates by as much as he'd like to lower them, that will improve job growth. But there actually was not a whole lot of discussion about policies specifically targeted at creating more jobs.
Cardiff, if you could have been in Jim Lehrer's shoes Wednesday night, what would you have asked other than telling them both to shut up and keep their eye on the clock, right?
I would have asked, what would each of you specifically do about immigration reform in your first year in office? And the reason is that I think immigration is dramatically underrated as an economic, not just mm-hmm. a political issue. And so I pretty much agree with Catherine on this one, which is that we had an okay debate on the limited number of issues that they actually discussed. But there was so much that was left out, I think, in part because, well, Lair just let them talk and didn't sort of enforce too much discipline on them. So, anyways, good and bad.
Cardiff Garcia from the blog FT Alphaville, Catherine Rampell at the New York Times. Thanks, you guys. Have yourselves a good weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kai.
All right, we'll see you.